We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
As Sergeant Joe Friday would say, just the facts. Just the facts. It is Friday in Brevard County, Florida, and you are blessed of the Lord. I just want to let you know that. We want to say thank you today to Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If they can be a blessing to you in helping you with block or concrete work, give them a call and let them come out and fix you up. I was talking to one of our ladies at church, and she was describing how they had an issue at their house, and they called Jits Concrete. They came out and got their problem resolved and fixed her up, and that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. They will do the same thing for you. It's not just because we attend church with them, but it is because they take great pride in their work, and they will do a good job for you. So give them a call, 321-536-5804. And if you do not have a church home here in Brevard County, we would love to invite you to come and worship with us as we praise God, as we give opportunity for miracles to be done in our services, and we proclaim the word of God, the full gospel, so that people can have their hearts changed by the grace of God, their names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and their eternity changed forever and ever. And so if you want to come and check us out, we're at 165 North Grove Street. We tend to have visitors on pretty much a weekly basis. And sometimes we are the right fit for somebody in the community. Sometimes we're not. And we pray that if you're searching for a church home, that God will lead you to a place. Listen, earlier in the week, I was talking about out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that love is profitable. We are looking for you to be divinely placed by God in the church that you are going to be able to serve his purposes and that you are going to be able to grow and flourish in. That's what we're looking for. It is highly likely that Merritt Assembly of God will never be the largest church in the county. We're not trying to be anything other than what we are. And that is an outpost, a spiritual hospital for those who will allow the word of God to penetrate into the joints and marrow of their hearts and life and allow them to be transformed and renewed by the grace of God. So if you'd like to come check us out, we're there Sunday school 9:30, worship service 10:30, and Sunday nights at 6:30 right now. And in the month of July, we are there Wednesday nights at 7. So let's get back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We did not finish discussing love, what God's type of love is. And so we're going to just go right there. We're looking at the fruit of the Spirit is love out of Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22. So 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy, love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. So we're going to stop the reading for right now. So we were talking about on yesterday's program that love does not behave rudely. Today, let's pick up on the next phrase in verse number 5. Love does not seek its own. Love is not selfish. Love is not self-centered. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Okay? And so I tell people that love will have a price tag. It will cost you dearly. Love is a fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in our lives, but love causes you to be vulnerable. Love causes you to give. Love causes you to endure with people who are going through challenges. Love will call you to do things that, you know, the flesh isn't going to. Love is contrary to the flesh. And so I think it's time that the church reclaimed the principle of love from the misappropriation and the redefinition that our society has tried to place upon it, and say, you know what? That's God's term. That's God's character. And it is going to be defined the way that God exhibits it. And so love isn't selfish. I remember a conversation that a person was sharing, and I don't remember which preacher it was, but a very highly profound member, or a highly recognized member of society, that was trying to redefine the definition of love, and they were having a discussion with another person who shared similar mindset, and they began to ask them about their motive in how they were defining love. And this person, and they were both in the same thing, in the same mindset, if you will. So it wasn't one condemning the other. It was just that one was going through a serious spiritual encounter and the other one wasn't. And they asked this individual, they said, in all of the people that you quote unquote have loved, how many of them did you love for their best interest, or did you love them for your own purposes? And the person responded and said, I would probably say that there were none of them that I loved for their own best interest, that I probably was acting in a very selfish manner. And the person that initiated the conversation said something along the lines that was the conclusion that they had come to as well. And they said, call me a preacher. And they named a preacher, and I don't remember who that was right now. And that person came and led that individual to faith in Christ, because that person knew that the definition of love that they had lived their entire life believing wasn't the true definition. Love does not seek its own. Love is not provoked, and love thinks no evil. Okay? We put terms on provocation as pushing buttons. And so if I could put it to you this way, we are supposed to be dead in Christ and our trespasses and sin. And so I want to ask you, is it possible that someone could do something and it not offend you? Is it possible to live a life in such a manner that a person would not be able to push your button? One that will get you very aggravated and annoyed very quickly. I wish I could say that I didn't have any buttons to push, but I've still got a ways to go in that area. You see, I take my responsibility to my wife and my kids and my grandchildren and my church, I take it very seriously. Now, there are people who can do things to me all of the time, or not all the time, but a lot of the time, and that won't bother me. But anybody that I've got authority to be a covering for in their life, I take that responsibility very seriously. And so, I don't want to be provoking other people, and I don't want to be provoked by the people that I claim to love. I want to be able to love them. I want to be long-suffering to them. And here, look at this next one. Love thinks no evil. Have you ever given consideration to the fact that love affects your thoughts? It affects what you think. It affects the quality of your thoughts, the spiritual nature of your thought. Love thinks no evil. So don't tell me how much you love somebody and then you're thinking about ways to steal from them. Don't tell me how much you love somebody when you are contemplating and actively thinking about how you are going to injure or maim or kill them. Don't tell me about that. Love thinks no evil. Love will affect your thought life. And you can look in Philippians chapter 4 and you can see some of the things that we are supposed to think about. And I'm turning over there real quick. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. We're not supposed to be thinking of ways to deprive others or take advantage of them. We're supposed to be thinking of ways that we can show Jesus to them. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. So we're going to talk about joy here as we get further along in this discussion of the fruit that the Holy Spirit wants to produce in our life. But I want you to know that love rejoices in the right things. Love rejoices in the truth. Love does not rejoice in rebellion. Love does not rejoice in sin. Love does not rejoice when other people are injured in the process. It rejoices with the things that God rejoices over. And I will tell you that your Savior and my Savior, Jesus Christ, is a jubilant God. Jesus went to the cross for the joy that was on the other side of the cross. So please understand that since his crucifixion, there is a manifest joy. There are too many Christians who are operating out of duty and not operating out of joy. I was recently on a flight. I won't name the airline. There was a person that I was having a conversation with, and I thought they worked for that particular airline at that point in time. I found out later that wasn't the case. And I was talking to this individual, and like I said, I thought that they worked for this airline, and I had been on four flights. This was the fourth one. So I have encountered numerous clerks at the counter. I've encountered four or five different agents at the gate. I have encountered numerous flight attendants. And I told this person, I said, I have not seen a person that works for this airline that looks like they enjoy their job yet. And he said, that's because they don't. They are absolutely miserable. They're ticked off. And I saw one of the crews, because we got in late at night and they got off the plane. They got into this extremely fancy shuttle to be escorted to a very fancy hotel where they were going to have luxury accommodations for the night. And it was like, why are you so angry? And nobody had a smile on their face. And I don't know all of the ins and outs of that job. I wouldn't pretend to, but I do want to bring it into a Brevard County application for you and for me. And that is, listen, our sins have been forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. Our names have been written in the Lamb's book of life. Jesus is preparing a place for us, that where he is, there we may be also. The devil's lost his control over our lives, and we are destined for an eternity with Jesus. We should be manifesting supernatural joy because of the great love that God has bestowed upon us. And so rejoice in the truth. Don't believe the devil's lie about yourself. Don't believe the devil's lie about your other believers in Christ. We need to manifest joy. I saw this video not long ago where a person gets on a very crowded subway and everybody is just emotionless. They're just, don't mess with me. I'm big city. I'm just trying to get to work. I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm surrounded by people, but I'm antisocial. That was the mindset. This person gets on and pretends to be laughing at something that is on his computer, and he and his laugh goes from a giggle to a full-fledged laugh to a belly laugh to an uncontrollable laughter, and everybody begins to have a gaze upon them as, what is wrong with this guy? Doesn't he realize that we're all supposed to be hating the very fact that we are on this journey, and this guy actually has the audacity to be enjoying something in his life? What is wrong with him? And he goes on laughing for a prolonged period of time. And by the time, he gets to his destination, everybody in that particular subway car is laughing because they're all laughing at him. They don't have any idea what he's laughing about, but everybody is finding it extremely entertaining. You know what I find that heaven rejoices over? Heaven rejoices when sinners repent. Heaven rejoices when a nation is exalted. Heaven rejoices with the joy of the Lord. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so I want to encourage you, go around with a smile on your face. It's okay. It's okay. When I turned 21, I literally thought, now I know this is stupid, but it's what I thought. Don't ask me where I got the thought. I don't know. But I had the idea that when I turned 21, that meant that I couldn't have any more fun. And so my family's having this birthday party for me. No, there wasn't any alcohol involved. We were having cake and ice cream and all of that sort of stuff. And I remember that day, and they said, what's the matter with you? Are you not having a good time? It's your birthday. And I said, well, I'm 21. I'm an adult now. I'm not supposed to be having any fun. Too many people have thought that Jesus was the joy robber, that he, you know, when you asked him to come into your heart, he took all of the fun and all of the enjoyment out of life. Nothing could be further from the truth. Your journey of joy just began when Jesus came into your heart, because it was no longer about misery and pain and heartache and suffering. It was about the immeasurable love of God that had just been lavished upon your life. I've told this story a number of times. My mother has a picture of her church that she was going to when she was about 4 or 5 years old. And, there's hundreds of people in this photo. It was a staged photograph. It was a very large church for that time. This would have probably been, well, she was probably a little bit older than what I said. But this was a black and white photo. When was the last time you saw a black and white photo taken? Okay, so that kind of gives you a time frame. Literally the night that after they took this photo after a Sunday morning church. And that night, that church burned to the ground. But they rebuilt it, and they went on to touch a lot more hearts and lives. And but I have this photo, and hundreds of people there. And on all of the faces, every one of them look like they have just been told that instead of of getting a paycheck that week, they were going to have to suck on lemons. Every one of them look just as miserable and as unhappy as you could possibly be, except for one boy. One boy didn't get the memo, and he has got a smile on his face that goes from ear to ear. And I don't know what everybody else had, but I want what that boy had. I want that joy to manifest. Rejoice in the truth of God's word. Don't believe the devil's lie that he has. Love bears all things, endures all things. Last week there was an article that came out about a person, two people were having a political argument on social media, and one of them messaged the other one in a private manner, and before long the male that was in the conversation was wanting to take the relationship to a different level, and the lady responded, "I'm married," and this guy responded, "So am I, ha ha, it'll be fun," or something like that. And she went on to describe all of the things that her husband had journeyed with through her in the past year. And none of it sounded like an e-ticket ride, if you're old enough to remember e-ticket rides from Disney World. None of it sounded like it was much fun, but he did it because he loved her. And she said, "You need to go and you need to get your home life right. And whatever you do, don't contact me again." You see, she wasn't going to fall for the devil's fantasies because she had seen love that endured all things on display. By the way, the Bible says that he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. Don't fall. Don't pursue fantasies. Instead, 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, pursue love. It goes on and it says, bears all things, believes all things. I hope that you are your spouses and your family members. I pray that you're your pastor's biggest fan, their biggest cheerleader, that you go on and say, "Man, we are just so thankful for what God is doing in this church." You see, there's too many people who go around believing the negative about people, and there's a lot more positive than there is negative. Believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. God's love never fails. You don't fall in and you don't fall out. You don't decide one day and then decide another day. You see, there are too many people who use love the way that they view everything else in our society. They view relationships as disposable instead of being priceless. Okay? I will tell you, till my last day of pastoring, the most painful thing that a pastor goes through is when someone leaves their church. I tell people, I've been fired a gazillion times. People have come to the church and then they leave, and they literally give you your termination papers, where would say, "You know what? You are no longer the pastor over my life." And, you know, I realize that sometimes people relocate across country and things like that. I'm not talking about that sort of relocation. I'm talking about when people say, "You know what? This relationship isn't worth the inconvenience anymore." That is a hurt that I'm not sure that I will ever get accustomed to. Being pretty real here on the radio program right now. So, you know, if you don't like real, you probably need to change the station, because I'm who I am. It says, it goes on, And it says in verse number 13, "And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love." Did you know that the Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear? So when your spouse comes home and your kids come home, there shouldn't be any fear that is in their heart that you are going to, you know, abuse them or abandon them. There shouldn't be any of that. There should be such a tremendous amount of assurance that God's love is operating in us that they know that they can count on you. I had a person that told me one time, they said, the reason that people lash out at you is because they know that it is safe to do so. This wasn't a family member. This was just a person that was in my church and said, the reason that people vent and lash out is because they know that the love that God has placed inside your heart is not going to cause a boomerang effect where they lash out. And they said, they don't even mean it. You're just the outlet. You're not the primary. You're not the one that causes these emotions to come out. You're just a safe place for them to vent. I want you to know that doesn't make it any easier to get, you know, to endure that sort of stuff. But it did make me feel a little better that I wasn't, that person didn't feel like I was the one responsible. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 1, pursue love. How do you do that? How do you chase down the love of God? Well, I believe that if it's the fruit of the Spirit, that you say, God, I'm going to pursue my relationship with you to the best of my ability. And Lord, when your love is flowing through me, it's going to enable me to be able to love those around me to a greater extent. Did you realize that the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? And the second is like unto it, and that is love your neighbor as yourself. If we have our relationship with God right, only then will we be able to love our fellow man the way that God wants us to. So let's allow the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. That's where we're at right now. Let's allow the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, to flow through us and touch our communities. Our county desperately needs to see a demonstration of the love of God in your life and in my life. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."